And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors.
Hey everyone, this is Patrick with All Things Private Practice. I wanted to just give a huge shout out for The Receptionist for iPad. They've been a sponsor for this podcast for 4 years in a row, and I just want to say how grateful I am to their partnership and what they do for the not only therapist, but also medical community. Your time is valuable. Whether you're hyper-focused on admin tasks like billing or simply trying to make a cup of coffee between appointments or trying to use the bathroom, constant interruptions can derail your entire day. This episode and this year's podcast is sponsored by The Receptionist, a sign-in app company. The Receptionist for iPad is a HIPAA-ready digital check-in system that eliminates the need to walk back and forth from your office to the waiting room to see if your next appointment has arrived. Clients or patients can check in for their appointments, and you'll be immediately notified by text, email, or your preferred channel. Break free from the interruptions and make the most of your time, because it is valuable. Start a free 14-day trial of The Receptionist for iPad by going to thereceptionist.com/private practice. Make sure to start your trial with that link, and you'll also get your first month free if you decide to sign up. Hey everyone, welcome back to All Things Private Practice. Today I am joined by Lauren Roberts. She is a licensed professional counselor and an ADHD certified clinical service provider, born and raised in South Louisiana. She transitioned from agency work into a group practice in 2021. Later that year, she helped build and launch a nonprofit that focused on providing quality, accessible mental health programs and resources to lower income folks in her community. Over the next 2 years, she served as a clinical director for both the nonprofit and the associated group practice, mentoring and supporting counseling students and pre-licensed counselors as they explored how to show up authentically and sustainably in their work with clients. Now she primarily works as an individual therapist in her own private practice, helping fellow anxious, neurodivergent, and chronically ill misfits to empower themselves to set boundaries, develop radical self-compassion, and process pain to move towards a more authentic life that honors their values and needs. Additionally, she facilitates a free local support group for anxious, neurodivergent folks learning to set boundaries, which has been meeting for 4 years. You can find Lauren online sharing memes, being silly, and approaching difficult topics to advocate for a more inclusive, radically kind world. Damn, I said it all and I didn't mess up.
I'm so impressed.
I'm like, between dyslexia and just reading and doing four things at once, yeah, it's a mess. So welcome to the show.
Kevin, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I hope that helps, regulate, and also sharing disappointing affirmations before recording is always a good way to start.
Yes, so, yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that we have the same weird vision.
Super helpful. So you wanted to talk about therapists talking or not talking about politics and why it's important now so more than ever. I think those of you listening, for the most part, can't speak for all of you, would probably agree. So why this topic and why now?
So I think maybe it's also like part of this is like living in the South and seeing that like a lot of the people that are therapists in my area will do everything that they possibly can to avoid it. Like if I go into the Facebook groups that are local and we talk about anything, if I bring anything up that could be perceived that way, I've gotten like direct messages from like veterans in the field here being like, no, we don't do that. We keep this completely politically, you know, neutral. Yep. We've worked really hard for this. And I'm like, yep. Okay. But also like, we are living in unprecedented, well, I guess they're not really unprecedented, but unprecedented times in their own way.
Especially in the era of social media, unprecedented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so like, people are scared right now. Like the clients that are reaching out to us they want to know that the people that they're talking to are trustworthy, that are values aligned, that believe in similar belief systems. Even if it's not exactly the same, they want to know that they're going to be affirmed and appreciated and accepted for their own values and needs. So,
100%.
I see a lot of like hesitation from therapists about like, I know like a lot of them want to talk about it. But they're worried that it's going to come across as like unprofessional, or they'll be called unethical if they're sharing their own views about these things. And so, I think it's an important time for us to be actually standing up and showing, like modeling, I guess, what that looks like to advocate for ourselves, so our clients can see that it's okay to do that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Let's play a word association game real quick. So you are in the therapist Facebook groups and someone says, I didn't get into therapy to be political. The response is what?
An exaggerated eye roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my first response. My second response, which was probably a little bit more professional, is really that we don't, existing as political. So it doesn't really matter if you have gotten into this field to deal with these other things. If you have the ability to ignore all this stuff, that's great for you.
Yep.
But the reality is most of our clients don't. They don't have that luxury. And so it doesn't really matter if this is why you got into the field. You're here now. And this is the reality that we're having to help people cope with.
Absolutely. So I have had the All Things Private Practice Facebook group closed for almost 2 years. It actually a day or two ago by reopening. I had forgot to extend it. And I was like, oh, that would have been a bad surprise if I woke up this morning. You know, towards the end of its run, we had about 15,000 therapists in there. And I would get that statement a lot, you know, because we would have a lot of conversations because I wanted it to be an anti-racist, all-inclusive space. And you would sometimes get these shit weasels who would fall through the cracks somehow and end up in the group. When you have a group that large, it's just inevitable. And it would always be that conversation of therapy isn't political. I didn't join this group to talk about politics, blah, 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 blah. And every time I almost had to have it on like a copy paste response, you know, of like, therapy is political first and foremost. Second of all, read your fucking code of ethics and say it out loud, not just the parts that you agree with.
Yeah.
Third of all, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, just don't cherry pick it. Like, you follow all of it, not just bits.
Yeah, exactly. You have to, like, if you're going to say this stuff with your whole chest, like, don't just cherry pick the stuff that you feel comfortable and confident saying out loud or that you agree with or disagree with. And the reality, like you mentioned several times, so many clients who are looking for therapy right now or need support are fucking scared. And if you move through this world in this moment right now without feeling any of those feelings and you're just like, nothing's really changed for me, or I don't have to think about it, that might just be some privilege peeking its head out and saying like, you don't have to think about it.
Right.
I'm a cishet white man. I have a lot of privilege. If I don't tell people I'm autistic and ADHD, they would never know.
Yeah, I feel that.
The reality is how we move through this moment is so important. You have to put yourself in other people's shoes, like who don't identify the way I identify, who are fucking petrified that their neighbors, family members, themselves might be rounded up and detained and deported. Or that our trans clients are scared about, am I even able to exist as myself? Clients who identify as female or who have uteruses are concerned all of the time about how is my body and my right to protect myself going to be honored? These are the things people are bringing to sessions. Autistic clients who are thinking about registries and linkages to Tylenol and bullshit coming out of that person's mouth talking about the causation of autism.
Yeah.
This is not a moment where you just bury your head in the sand.
And if you can, like you said a minute ago, it is peak privilege. And I'm glad that you're kind of mentioning all of those like specific situations, because like while I was thinking about this before we got on, I was like kind of, I kind of like journal write whenever I'm like processing what my thoughts are. Like I was I was thinking about all the different people that have reached out to me, like personally, not as clients, because obviously I'm never going to share anything that has to do with them, but people just looking for therapists. I mean, I've had parents reach out to me who are terrified their kids' new therapist is a TERF.
Yeah.
they're scared about immigrants. Like, immigrants are scared that their new therapist is going to turn them into ICE.
Yeah.
Chronically ill therapist clients are finding out that their therapist aligns with the wellness industry and that guy over there, and over the scientific community, you know. Disabled clients worry that they'll be told it's a mindset issue. People with religious trauma unsure if their therapist will push prayer as a solution to their pain. Like, these are not theoretical responses and concerns or people. Like, these are real people that I've spoken to that are scared. And I think as therapists, like, we hold a lot of power. And so that means though we have to use that in a way that honors them and supports them.
Absolutely. Well said. And I know that some of you out there are thinking, like, I do want to do that, but I am scared to even show up as myself or share my thoughts about what's going on. And that's valid. You know, I've seen therapists can be some of the most cruel, vicious, shame-filled, trauma-filled humans. And it sucks because it can become like gang mentality and people will gang up on each other in these threads and they will try to dox you. I've seen it happen. They will report you to your licensing board. I have seen it happen. So there is a real fear. There's a real risk. So I don't want to say any of what we're saying without at least using that as an asterisk.
Absolutely.
I wrote a post like back in 2016 during the first administration of this current administration in the Facebook group, Therapists in Private Practice. And I just was like talking about the cognitive dissonance of voting for him and also being a mental health therapist and how to hold peace and blah, 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 blah. And it went viral and I was not prepared for that.
Yeah.
What I realized very quickly is that the people who are messaging me like in a positive way were like, people who identify in all of the vulnerable communities that was mentioned. People that were sending me death threats, on the other hand, were people who looked like me. And it was like, this is fucking wild. Like,
it is.
I was just writing my thoughts. I didn't expect to start getting like, I know where you live. I'm going to come find you. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is why you should be reported.
So that's that fear that most therapists have about, like, especially like I've talked to people about like wanting to start getting more like vocal online. They're like, how do you do that without fear? It's really scary. People are fucking mean. And I'm like, okay, you don't do it without fear because there is going to be fear involved. Like this is the fascist regime. So like there are real risks. And so like being able to really ask yourself questions about like what your values are, what are the values of your potential client? How do they align with the political beliefs that you want to do? Is it something that you want to be able to stay like online on a public platform? Or is it something that you just want to be able to meet and approach like in a healthy way in session? Like figuring out what level of engagement works best for you, because that viral response, I think, triggers people. Like it is terrifying. So that happened to me one of the first times that I ever like talked publicly about that. And I was just like, oh God, oh God. Cause I got all of these, like, you're so unethical. I'm going to report you all this. And I'm like, And if you don't know, like, if you're not used to that, then it's jarring because you're like, why would you feel that that's the appropriate response if I'm advocating for human rights?
Yep. And that's what the cognitive dissonance I was talking about is, right? It's that exact delineation where it's like, how is this bothering you? It's still baffling to me. But yeah, you're right. You do have to mentally prepare for some of that. And that doesn't mean all of you are going to post things and they're going to get they're going to go way out of proportion. Like, that's not the reality, but it can happen. Certainly something to protect yourself around. You can set boundaries around your social media. You can set boundaries around who can comment, who can share, like who can see things, but like, and that doesn't mean you have to like post every second of every day. That does no good either. But the reality is, like, in moments like these, do we want to kind of take a stand in terms of showing our values and who we support, standing up for people who can't say things out loud? And it's a very scary moment for a lot of people. And I think one real reality that is very unfortunate in this era of social media is people can say whatever the fuck they want and people be ruthless. So it can be daunting. And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Hey everyone, it is the beginning of 2026 and I want to ask you a question. A year from today, what would your dream private practice look like? Would you spend less time chasing claims or only working with clients who value your skill set? What if you had a network to reach out to for questions or for free continuing education? And what if you had more time for yourself? This is why I've joined forces with Alma for the entirety of 2026, because Alma empowers you to confidently accept insurance backed by an all-in-one EHR that simplifies scheduling, documentation, and day-to-day practice operations. With a network of engaged providers and free CE courses, Alma makes it easy for you to build the practice of your dreams on your terms. Alma believes that when therapists get the support they need, mental health care gets better for everyone. Learn more about Alma at helloalma.com/ATPP. Your dream practice is closer than you think. Get started now at helloalma.com/ATPP. And now we are going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Hey everyone, this is Patrick from All Things Private Practice. I am inviting you to our third annual Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway Summit. And guess what? This year it is in the United States, in beautiful Portland, Maine, not Oregon. I know there's a lot of confusion around that. Portland, Maine is a beautiful coastal city in the Atlantic Ocean. It's a harbor city. There's a lot of history there. It's very funky, very creative, very safe, walkable, lots of diversity. Very progressive city in the middle of Maine. It reminds me a lot of Asheville, North Carolina, where I live. A lot of cool small businesses. And that's exactly why we wanted to have it there. It's going to be September 1st to the 3rd. And you are going to get 9 MBCC CEs. We have ASWB pending. We'll make an announcement when that's finalized. 13 prolific industry leaders, really about doing things differently. The summit has always been about showing you that our skills are applicable in so many different ways and to motivate you to think bigger, to grow in this profession, to take more risks, to work through that self-doubt, and to really embrace the doubt yourself, do it anyway mentality. We're going to be talking about how to rewire your trauma histories so that they don't show up in your businesses. We're going to talk about neurodiversity affirming panels. We're going to have workshops on alternative income streams. We have so much involved in this event. So make sure to sign up. Spots are limited, September 1st to the 3rd. And again, beautiful Portland, Maine. And the link is in the show notes on my website and everywhere else that you follow my stuff. Doubt yourself, do it anyway. And I will see you in Maine.
It really can be. I don't really know what to add to that because... Yes, it can be. I think also like not everybody needs to be the one to like speak up about these things, like you said, on social media. Like maybe, and I know like one of the big fears that people talk about too is like, what if I'm alienating certain clients? And that's a valid concern, right? So like,
yep.
Who is it that you're hoping to work with? Like, are you looking for a wider range of plans that maybe don't align with your same values and hopes? Like, what is it that you're actually looking for when you're seeking new clients? Like for me personally, I'm looking for people that are also liberation focused, that are trying to figure out how to deconstruct all of the internalized ableism, capitalism, racism, all of the things that have kind of kept us in this stasis and fear, right? But that's not going to be every client out there, and that's okay. No. So like, are you okay with not being the right therapist for everybody?
I want to just say that you can't be the right therapist for everybody.
Exactly.
I don't think that as a human being, working with other human beings, that you can be the right therapist and the right fit for everybody. I want all of you to hear that. I think we attract and repel based on how we show up. So if I was to go on your Instagram or your website, I'm going to either be attracted to working with you, right, based on how you show up and what you talk about, or I'm going to say, Lauren is not the person for me. And that is okay. And that should be how it goes. across the board. I just had Dr. Tina Vitolo on right before you. She runs the Black Sheep Therapist Academy. Yeah. And we were talking about this. And I say this all the time. And I believe that relatability equates to accessibility. I believe that 100%. I believe our niches are versions of ourselves. I also believe that there is someone for everyone. And I remember creating my group practice website a few years ago, and we curse a lot on the website. We want to be really authentic. We want to be really relatable. And my web designer at the time was like, "You're going to turn off a lot of conservative-minded people." And I was like, "Good. Fuck them. I don't want them calling us anyway. Like, I'm okay with that. They can go somewhere else. We live in Western Carolina. Like, we're in Appalachia. Right. Somebody will be the right fit for them.
They exist." Yeah, right. And so, and like, say I have the same experience in Louisiana. Like, I'm in South Louisiana. So, and it's fascinating because if you look at just the difference between like New Orleans and Baton Rouge, like the availability of therapists for for more like left-leaning people is very, very different. Like in New Orleans, you can expect that. Like, I'll go post something of like, I'll see somebody post something real fucking brave on one of those Facebook groups in New Orleans, and they will get jumped on because people don't mess with it. But in Baton Rouge, you don't see that. People are a lot more timid and a lot more scared. And I think that is a really big like representation of how hard it must be for clients to figure out who is safe and who is not.
Absolutely. Because, you know, this is just the reality. I don't do private practice coaching anymore, but when I did, I edited a lot of bios, like today's websites. They all look the fucking same. And if a client is scrolling through Psych Today, which basically feels like a match.com for therapy, and you're just looking at paragraph after paragraph after paragraph, and everyone says, "I'm a trauma-informed therapist and I'll walk alongside you," and blah, 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 and nobody says anything that feels values aligned, it's really hard for a client to be like, "Oh, I don't know if I can talk to this person. I don't know if this person is going to be a safe person for me to confide in for 60 minutes at a time of my life." So, I mean, if we can think about it like that, and that's a great delineation, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, right? Thinking about if you are willing to put yourself out there a little bit and share a little bit about who you support, what you believe in, how you're going to show up, just know that those clients are out there looking for you. And they are scared to pick up the phone and call you because they don't know if you are going to be a safe person for them.
Exactly. Like, transparency is the whole clarity is kindness thing, right? Like, as clear as we can be about where we stand, then it gives people a lot more agency to make that decision for themselves.
Absolutely. And I think this goes beyond the therapy room. And I want to, just say that for me, like, I do a lot of retreat hosting and event hosting and a bunch of different income streams in my business. I have kicked out and banned former retreat attendees for being or being transphobic, or like supporting Project 2025 and MAGA supporting. And people will be like, "No,
never not throw me off, man."
And it's like, well, this is my business. It's a coaching business. I can definitely determine who I want to be my client and customer and who I don't.
Yes.
I want you all to think about that, because be really aware of where you're spending your money. For those of you who are signing up for courses and coaching programs and retreats, the values matter. Like, values alignment there matters too. It's not just in the therapy spaces. And I think about that all the time. And I think about how certain people and certain values, they just do not feel congruent and based on what they show up with. So this matters all around. And I think that's what happens when we start to create brands and we start to create followings. Like, I want to be 100% transparent and be myself all the time. And I'm just going to show up and continue to say what I'm going to say. So it's just really important for me. But I also know that not every single person listening can do that.
Absolutely. I'm curious, like, I kind of started being a lot more open about who I am and what my beliefs are and stuff. Probably, I don't know, 2022, I guess. And I still have these like moments, like after I hit post and I'm like, this is either going to be great or I'm going to get dogpiled. Like,
sure.
I don't know if they're going to like throw me out in traffic? Like, how exactly is this going to go? How does that land for you?
I struggle with it very much. Yeah. So I have a really sensitive system between my autism is like, I don't want to be perceived. And my ADHD is like, I have rejection sensitive dysphoria. So every time I post anything, I'm like, oh my God, I'm the worst human on earth and everyone's going to hate me. But I also acknowledge that the way I've developed a following over the last 4 or 5 years is consistency and showing up authentically. I get emails all the time where people are like, you fucking suck. I hate your stuff. Your voice is fucking terrible. And I'm like, okay.
Can I put you on my website as a testimonial?
Yeah. And I'm just like amazed at how bold people feel like they should just be able to speak to people however they want. But I've started to just find it funnier and funnier now. There are definitely times where posts get out of control and things get taken out of context. And that can be challenging too on social media where like things are happening.
Neurodivergent people.
Yeah. And, you know, rapid second responses. And once something starts to like escalate and really build momentum, that thread or that post, that thing is like,
it has its own life.
Yeah, it does. But those life cycles always like fizzle out. They don't last forever. Yeah. So if you ever find yourself in the middle of that, for any of you listening, like it is overwhelming, but it's not going to be forever and it will fizzle out eventually and you can step away from it. And I think setting boundaries around this stuff is super important too, especially for your own self-preservation.
Yeah, exactly. So like I had last year like some increased symptoms with my dysautonomia that I was not diagnosed at the time. And so like it felt like anxiety. I thought I was like having this like a month long panic attack. Right.
Right.
And so like I was noticing that like I was getting exceptionally more activated by those negative responses. And so instead of, I shut down my socials for a while. So I kind of just stopped posting for about a month. And then I came back and I was still kind of like hesitant because I wanted to make sure I was okay. And so whenever things would start to like ramp up and the algorithm would be doing its thing, you limit the comments on there and it stopped.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. There are ways to certainly protect yourself and your energy. You know, it's fascinating that you mentioned that about dysautonomia and like, I'm in the same boat and I had some, what am I going to say? Well, this is not going to publish for a while. I had some like trolling/haters/ experience of selecting speakers for the summit that I'm hosting in September and a couple of therapists who just piled on that and how that just goes and goes. But I realized as someone with a lot of chronic illness and chronic pain and dysautonomia and Ehlers-Danlos and like all the things that my body started to get like really activated as well. And that I started noticing like pain in my spine, pain in my back, like more dizziness, more this. And I was like, this is all connected to this fucking Facebook post. And like, that's what this is about right now. So for those of you who are neurodivergent or have chronic illness, chronic pain, it is really about pacing. It's about like stepping away. It's about setting boundaries. It's about limiting. And like, you can still show up and be an advocate and you don't have to be connected to your phone or your computer all the time. You really don't. I just want to name that because I know how hard it can be sometimes to step away when we get sucked into something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's hard to kind of like to step back, especially whenever it's like directed at like decisions that you're making specifically. I think the goal always when we're trying to figure out how to show up is like be intentional, right? Yep. Like make sure that the things that you're saying are the things that you believe and you're not just talking just because you feel like you have to. Like say what matters to you because that's what's going to land as opposed to what feels performative or not entirely like required for you to like speak up about.
Yeah, that's really well said. So, I think... You know, in this day and age, especially as we find out more and more atrocious behavior every single day, there's going to be something to react to every single day. So I think you do have to really like step back and think about what feels really important for you. Where can you place your energy? Where can you put your energy in general? And advocacy and showing up, being political as a therapist can also mean like supporting mutual aid and sharing other advocacy attempts and organizations. Like, it doesn't have to be you just out there like championing something and being the only person to do something. That doesn't have to be advocacy.
Community. Yeah. You have to like find your people because they're out there in that, in the community. And that's also a good way of find your clients too, is to get involved in the area where, because that's your corner of the world. We can't control everything that's happening everywhere in this country because it's overwhelming. And the second that we start trying to think about how do I manage this? And then when you go globally, genocides, like our brains just shut down because there's too many different things. So what can we actually physically, emotionally do to help our, like our communities and to help the situation? And the idea is that everybody in all of these different corners are all working it towards that goal to take care of their people.
Absolutely. Very well said. Very, very well said. So again, like therapy and politics go hand in hand. It does not have to look one certain way. There are lots of ways for you to get involved, to advocate, and to show up for what you believe in. Any last second takeaways that you want to share, or do you feel like you nailed it? I think you did a great job for your first podcast, by the way.
That's great. I think I covered everything. And if not, you can always come find me.
Okay. And where can people come find you? What a great segue.
Hey. So you can find me on Instagram at Coping in Chaos. And then I have recently launched my website. It is still under construction, but it's copingandchaos.com. So either one of those places, you can kind of, those are usually the best places to find me doing whatever it is that I am doing, because the ADHD in me sometimes takes me in multiple different directions. So we'll see.
Really relatable. Well, we will add that to the show notes so everyone has access to what Lauren just mentioned. And thank you so much for coming on and making the time.
Thanks for having me.
And to everyone listening to the All Things Private Practice podcast, new episodes are out on Saturdays on all major platforms and YouTube. And if you want to come to the summit in Portland, Maine, that the worst summit host on planet Earth is throwing in September from the 1st to the 3rd, the links are in my website, in my bio. Doubt yourself, do it anyway, and we will see you next week.